That is our heart's cry. We need you every hour of the day, every moment. We cannot get through this life without you. The burdens, they'll eat us up. So, Father, thank you for giving us an avenue to where we can bring those to you. Thank you for hearing our needs. Open our hearts that we might hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Wow, Pastor Dana, God is surely doing something in this time of worship today. Thank you for the team leading us into the very presence of the Lord today. If you got a bulletin outline in your bulletin, if you'd like to follow along today and fill in the blank, you'll have some opportunities to do that. If you miss one, see me after the service today. And if you're OCD or ADHD and you have a problem with an empty blank, I'll make sure I take care of that for you before the end of the day. I want to look in the Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter 3. I want to talk to you about what do you do when the heat is on? How can you be unshakable as you go through the trials and tribulations and troubles of life? Well, I'll go through seasons of difficulty, and I want us to see a word from God's Word today about how we can be unshakable in those times. What do you do when the heat is on in your life? This context of this particular passage of Scripture, 15 years earlier, we had seen Daniel and his friends when they were young men, very young men, teenagers, stand up for God. And here they are in their early 30s as young adults, taking a stand for God and presenting an example for us as to what to do when the heat is on. Let's read from God's Word. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. King Nebuchadnezzar made a giant gold image of himself, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and sit upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he gave this order to all his officials, to the princes, the perfects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other officials to come to the official dedication of the statue that he had set up. When they all assembled, an announcer shouted out, "People of all races and nations and language, this is the king's command. Anytime you hear the royal orchestra start playing music, you are to all immediately drop everything, fall to your knees and bow down and worship the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. Anyone who does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the giant blazing furnace." So as soon as they heard the music, everyone bowed down to the statue and worshiped the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we see in today there are several similarities for us going on in our lives today and the world we live in today, like we're going on in this passage of Scripture for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's look at these four similarities for us today. The king made a giant gold image of himself to be worshipped. Now, every day, the world creates larger-than-life images for me to worship. You know, we think about, may not make them of gold anymore, although some do. Jewelry may be in physical gold they can touch, gold they may have in stock accounts. But you know, we still worship gold in many ways. We idolize images just as King Nebuchadnezzar called upon those who lived in his day to do. We idolize images such as movie screens, like we really care what anybody in Hollywood has to think about anything. But there are people today concerned about, well, what are they wearing? What do they look like? What's their hairstyle? What's this new fad? What's this? We idolize what's going on in culture today. We also idolize sports fields, sports arenas, different teams. We look at that sports figure, and we place our, you know, we just get all wrapped up and wound up in that, and that becomes an idol for some people. For some, it's the concert stages. You know, we want to go to this concert. We like this group. We like that performance artist. You know, that's our groove. That's our sound. That's our playlist. Some idolize that. They just think that that's what life is all about. Still others idolize the internet or the smartphone. They're bowing down to their smartphones and not being very smart. Their attention span has reduced down to just nanoseconds that they can hold their span of attention. And you know, a lot of people today are having issues. You know, they're going to need some help with the osteoporosis as they get older because of this configuration of their neck and their head. And you know, and it's not good for them. They need to drink more vitamin D. I mean, they need to drink more milk. You know, even Olympians drink chocolate milk. That's the thing to do. You know, so if you're addicted to your phone, you need to drink more chocolate milk because it does a body good. Olympians do it. It will give you what you need. You can get juiced up for Jesus and get hyped up on chalk at the same time when you drink more milk. So there's remedies for these situations and solutions that surround us today of where we bow down to images that are in front of us in our culture and our society today. You know, we realize that there are a lot of things the world wants us to do, a lot of things the world wants us to worship, to bow down to, images of physical beauty. You know, we judge each other how I look. I didn't look this good this morning when I got out of bed, okay? Yesterday, I was helping my son change some wheel bearings, and we had some grease that I've never really seen grease like this before. I mean, it was the grease of all grease. And it was everywhere and on everything and tough to get off. And you know, and then we did some mowing and had grass on top of grease and grime. And it was interesting. So I didn't look this good. I got in the shower this morning and I used my shampoo. I know I don't need to, but I do. It's still an exercise in futility. You know, I save a lot of money. I give my shampoo money to missions. So I'm able to give more to God, to the work of the kingdom. So it's great, but I still go through the exercise. I want to get cleaned up and washed up and put on a nice clothes and, you know, look presentable. It's an image that we want to present. So people today think that they got to do this physical view thing. I spent all this time doing my hair for you today, and nobody even complimented me today. I don't even own a comb. And so, you know, I don't need to take a lot of time for maintenance. God don't put marble tabletops on cheap furniture. That's all I got to tell you, you know. I don't have to have a lot of maintenance. I'm good to go. But for some people, that's really what floats their boat. They want to look good. They want to look good. Physical beauty. Others in our culture, they would say sex is it. Sex is what everything's about. Others would say it's wealth. I've got to gain a large amount of wealth. I've got to be successful. If I'm successful, then people will look to me and idolize me and I'll be the envy of everyone. So others say it's pleasure. You know, our culture today is oriented toward pleasure. If it's pleasureful, I'll do it. If it's something that rubs me wrong, I won't. So our culture is such a pleasure-seeking society today. And so many people are bowing down to pleasure today. For others, it would be fame or popularity. You know, we think if on Facebook, if you get a thumbs up, life's good. If you get more thumbs down, it's a bad day. It's a bummer, right? I don't even have a Facebook account. The only person I care about giving me a thumbs up is Jesus. I want to answer the audience of one. Amen? Don't worry about what other people's opinions are about you or what they think. Worry about what the opinion of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ thinks about you. Instead of worrying about, you know, am I popular? Do people like me? You know, and then think about people also bow down today to power and influence. Have you ever noticed people that have power have a hard time letting go of it? They don't want to get rid of it. They like it. It becomes addictive to them. People become influential individuals. They're kingmakers. They want to hang on and hold on to that aspect in their lives. These are things that we still today bow down to and use as our golden images as well. So the world creates these larger-than-life images for me to worship just as it was in Daniel's day. A second thing, I'm tempted to create a false image of myself to impress others. Anytime I spend image building is a potential trap. Now, image building quickly becomes idol building, and it becomes all about me. Now, Rick Warren, in his great book called The Purpose-Driven Life, the first chapter, the first sentence of his book says this, "It's not about you." And the sooner we learn that lesson, the better life's going to be. It's not about you. It's about how God can use us to influence others and make a difference in this world that we find ourselves living in today. And so we create this carefully crafted image of ourselves. And if something comes into our life and shakes us up, then we think that our value and worth has been depleted or diminished or destroyed. And we have this difficult time assessing these things in our life because our carefully crafted image is not what we thought it would be. None of us can live up to what our image is on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever social media platform you may choose to present yourself in. If your life was that great, it'd be good. But we only put out there what we want people to see. We don't put out there the everything. We carefully craft this image. And so when our image that's been carefully crafted gets shaken up a bit, then we have a hard time at times. Now, have you ever met anyone who idolized themselves? A sign is they think the world revolves around them. Well, I got news for you, my friends. The world spins around every day and goes around every year, and you just along for the ride. You ain't got nothing to do with it, okay? It's going to spin and tilt and go and round, and you ain't got nothing to do with it, okay? It's not about you. Now, many people think it is, but I got news for you. You are not the center of the universe. God is. Now, not talking about looking and doing your best here. I want you to do best you can for what you got. I mean, you know, that honors God. You need to hose off every now and then, put a little deodorant on. I mean, if we're going to pack this place out here, we need to be able to utilize every square inch of seat in the sanctuary, okay? So, I mean, I'm not talking about letting yourself go, but I'm talking about doing the best you can for what God gave you. You're made in the image of God. If God didn't think you were special, He wouldn't have made you. So you are made in His image. You know, glorify God with the body He has given you. Glorify Him. Now, but trying to be something you're not is not going to work. You'll fail. Now, today also, we know that some similarities for today, as in Daniel's day, was this. Is if I reject the world's idols and images, people will try to burn me. They literally tried to burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you try to stand for God, people will try to burn you in this world we live in today. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. But some of the Babylonian officials used the opportunity to denounce the Jews. They told the king, "O great king, we hope you live forever. But the Jewish officials that you put in charge of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have defiled your decree. They have refused to serve your gods, and they refused to bow down and worship your image that you set up. So they should be burnt with the blazing, fiery furnace." Now, how's that for some loyalty from some of your coworkers at the office? Just years before, he had saved their skin and kept their jobs. You got anybody at your business giving you the business, trying to shake things up, trying to undermine you, stab you in the back? Is he get a little unshakable at work? Well, guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has been there, done that. They knew what that was about. You know, what's going on in this particular passage? Now, people who are offended when you don't conform when you shake them up a little bit, they're going to start accusing you of all kinds of things. Have you ever noticed that there's intolerance among some people who claim to be the most tolerant people? You know, you can have an opinion as long as it's mine. You know, but if you have one, you can't have yours. And so I'm going to tell you something. We got people today that say everything's good except Christianity. You know, we got to accept this or we got to accept that. But you can't accept Christianity because you talk about Jesus, he's talking about an exclusivity there. You're exactly right. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." There is an exclusivity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way you get to God is through Jesus the Son. That is very exclusive. But all who call upon the name of the Lord can come. All tongue, tribe, nation, and people can come. So it's inclusive to all. There's an exclusivity to the gospel, but it's inclusive to all. So, you know, that's not bigoted. That's not narrow-minded. That's open to any and all. But in today, we're seeing that we're being pushed aside as Christians because our view's the one that doesn't count. Our view's the one that doesn't matter in our culture and our society that we live in today. Now, you need to understand some things. This may happen just because people are jealous or competitive. They may want your job. They may be used by Satan and don't like people who honor God. But there are people who are happy to see you get burnt out there. I'm a Baptist minister. Some of you Baptists are the worst of the bunch, okay? I've done this for over 30 years. Some of you all, you all keep the torch burning, man. I mean, you'll go out at lunch today and have me on the entree. You know, short, bald man, you know, beating him up, give me a fork knife. I'm going to have a piece of that right there. I mean, I'm going to tell you, worst thing you can do is go out to a restaurant and start filleting Pastor Tom every Sunday. For everyone around you, you'd hear the table there, the waitress, you know. Oh, man, I just didn't. I don't like you. Yeah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, my friend. I mean, you know, we don't need to flay one another. We don't need to fry one another. We need to build one another up. The world's going to give enough to tear us down. We need to build one another up. And that's what's got to go on in the world that we live in today. There are people that want to see you get burned and life. That's a reality today. A fourth similarity for us today is that doing the right thing always makes some people angry. Now, they declared a decree from King Nebuchadnezzar that they should bow and worship him. That's narcissism. You're king, but not God. Anytime you challenge someone's ego or pride, anger is always going to follow. Ego is edging God out. Anger is going to follow. You say, preacher, what in the world does anger have to do with what you're preaching about today in Daniel chapter 3? It has everything to do about it. You add the letter D to anger, and what do you got? Danger. You got danger. Reminds me of a story. Two flies were buzzing around a messy kitchen one day. Landed on the knife handle. Had their fill on the leftover particles of bologna. They came airborne again, flying around, felt dizzy, and dropped dead to the floor. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with this? The moral of that story is this. Don't fly off the handle when you are full of bologna. You know, some of you need to get your anger under control and bring it into check. You know, anger is a very, very dangerous, dangerous thing. So anytime you challenge anyone's ego or pride, you can expect anger. That's just the reality of it. Now, they dared to challenge Nebuchadnezzar's narcissism. And so they got anger. This story shows three kinds of people in life. The suck-up, the keen, I'm the greatest, I'm God. The stuck-up, the kiss-up, the insecure bureaucrats of the day, and the stand-ups, those who refuse to bow down to worship the king are a bad idea. Which are you? The reason for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down is because it violated the first two of God's Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below, and you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. The very reason these guys were POWs in the first place in Babylon was because their parents and ancestors had broken the first two of the Ten Commandments and they had been hauled off. That's why they were there to begin with. What you do today can set the direction and destiny for your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren for generations to come. Be careful how you live your life. Don't be so self-centered and think, oh, this is only hurting me. This is only my decision. Your decision can have generational effect that may cause your offspring to end up in the very pit of hell. So when you decide that you don't want to follow God, when you don't want to be obedient to God's command, when you don't want to be in church, when you want to make these choices on your own, I'm going to tell you, it can have ramifications for generations to come. So be careful in the decisions that you made. It caused them to become POWs in a foreign land and be called to bow down to a false god. So be careful with the decisions that you make. Daniel 3, 13 and 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought to him. The king asked them, is it true that the three of you refuse to serve the gods and worship this gold statue that I set up? I will give you one more chance. If you bow down and worship the statue, all is well. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing fiery furnace. What god will be able to rescue for you from my power then? Now, what should we do when the heat's on? Good question. What will happen when I trust God, when I'm thrown into the fiery flames and the furnaces that are created for me and around me today? What should I do when the heat is on? Well, let me give you a couple suggestions on what you can do when you find yourself with the heat on so that you might remain unshakable and steadfast in a season of difficulty and hardship, trial and tribulation that might be going on in your life today. First, don't worry about defending myself. Now, quietly trust God to take care of your attackers. God is a better firefighter than you are. Why? He has unlimited water. You can only carry two buckets at a time. And once you splish it on the fire that's around you, it's gone. You got to replenish it. You may not be near a hydrant. You may not be near a water source. Friends, let God fight your battles for you. Let God fight the fires that surround you. He's a better firefighter than you are. When someone's giving you the business at work, someone's giving you the business about this or that, just smile and have bright eyes and shake your head and keep your big mouth shut and call on God to deliver you from the flames that encompass you and surround you. God is better at defending you than you are better at defending you. So let God do His work. Daniel 3:16. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves in this matter. You know, your threats don't scare us. Second, remember God has the power to save me. God is God. That means God can do anything God wants to do. God can save me from the fiery flames. Can He not? Absolutely He can. God is God. God can do miracles. He can do wonders. He can have signs. God is God. He can do whatever He wants to do. Daniel 3:17. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we worship is able to save us. I like that word. They're talking to the king. He's able to save us. God's able to do anything He wants to. These three men are exhibiting faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confident assurance of something that we want to happen is going to happen. These three men wanted to be delivered from the fire furnace. They called on their God to do it. They had faith that He could. They said He's able to do it. They believed that God was able to do it. Do you believe that God's able to deliver you from whatever situation or circumstance that you find yourself in today? Whatever surrounding you? Whatever problem or perplexity that you're trying to figure out on your own? Do you believe that God is able to do that? That He's able to deliver you? God is absolutely able to deliver you without a doubt. So we got to remember God has power to save me. A third thing, believe God will save me. Not just He's able, but that He will expect it. Daniel 3:17, and He will save us from your power, O King. There are hundreds of promises of deliverance throughout the Bible. Isaiah 43:2-3 says this, when you go through the deep waters of great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. Does this scripture say, if you go through the flames, if you go through deep troubles and trials? It does not. It says, when. So if you're not going through them now, guess what? It's coming. Get ready. Be prepared. Because you will go through trials, you will go through troubles, you will go through tribulations, you will have the flames surround you and encompass you and attempt to burn you. So when, not if, my friend. When, not if. So what are you going to do when it happens? Because it will happen to all of us at some point in time in our life. Well, fourth thing, announce my loyalty to God no matter what. Announce my loyalty to God no matter what. Daniel 3:18. But even if God doesn't save us, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. God saves, God delivers, and God rescues. Amen? It doesn't care what the world tells you, that way won't work. Buddha won't save you. Buddha won't deliver you, and Buddha won't rescue you. Zoroaster won't save you, Zoroaster won't rescue you, and Zoroaster won't deliver you. L. Ron Hubbard in his spaceship lurking out there in space with the great warrior princess Xenu is not coming back to land in California to bring in a new world order to save you. L. Ron Hubbard is dead and dying and burning in hell today. I'm going to tell you, Mohammed will not save you. It is a false faith. Oprah will not save you with her syncretism stew. Let's put a little of Judaism in here, some Christianity and some Buddhism, and throw some New Age movement here. Let's stir it all up and let's dip down into my syncretism stew and let's drink it up with our pinkies up and let's just make our own faith up. That will not save you. That will burn you. That stew will burn you in the fiery pit of hell. There is only one thing that can save you, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ and Christ alone. So put your faith in the one and only one that can save you, and do something about the situation or circumstances that surround you and encompass you and so easily ensnare and entangle you today. Turn to Christ. He's the one that can make a difference in your life. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found out, they would not bow down to a false god. They put their faith in the one true God. They trusted Him. He delivered them, He rescued them, and He saved them. And God will do that for you as well. He'll save you, He'll deliver you, and He'll rescue. He'll save you from your sin. He'll save you from yourself. If you'll call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved, you can be saved. All you have to do is have faith. Come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. He will save you. He will rescue you from the fiery pit of hell, and He'll deliver to your home in heaven, to a place that He has prepared for you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, because in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and I prepare a place for you. Jesus saves us. Jesus rescues us. And Jesus delivers us, my friends. And for that, we can be grateful. We can be grateful. Now, sometimes God saves us from the crisis. You know, we're going through a crisis. He saves us from the crisis. He helps us to avoid the fire. I call these divine detours. Instead of going that way, God helped me go this way and get around it. He divinely detoured my life so I did not have to encounter that obstacle in front of me. A divine detour. Can you give the Lord amen for those divine detours in your life? Sometimes God saves us through the crisis. We walk through the fire. You know, I've been there this week. I just did my mother-in-law's funeral on Monday. My wife's mother passed away. She's been dealing with cancer, battling with that, and we've been going through a fire with that. You know, my wife's been helping care for her mom, and, you know, it's a season of grief for us, a season of sadness, but also a season of hope because cancer did not conquer her. She's been set free, and she's at home with the Lord this very day. You know, so even though we grieve for her, we rejoice for her as well. We're the ones that grieve. She's been set free. But, you know, we go through crisis, and it's hard sometimes when we go through those seasons of time. We go through those crises in our life, but sometimes we are saved and redeemed through the crisis. Sometimes God saves us by the crisis. Have you ever known that some people won't learn any other way until they just absolutely, there's no other option. They're bottomed out. The crisis is presented, the realities of life. This transition point of life, this moment in time, has brought them to a point and a place that they are ready to receive Jesus, ready to accept God's way for their life. So sometimes we got to go through the crisis to be delivered. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, the Word of God says, it may be necessary for you to be sad for a little while because of the many trials you suffer. Their purpose is to prove that your faith is genuine. Even gold, which cannot be destroyed, is tested by fire. So your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested so that you may endure. Then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. Gold, when it's refined, when the heat is on, when it's put in the flame, removes all the purities, the dross. There's hymns we sing about that, you know, remove the dross. Back in the day, we had the hymn book, you know, they got dross, man. Dross, we sing about dross, don't we, Brother Dana? Dana, we sing about dross. Rot is dross. It's those impurities, those things that we got to pull out of that to make it pure, stronger, more valuable, more precious. That's what God does for us in the flame sometimes. He pulls out of those things out of us in the crisis that didn't need to be in us in the first place to position us where He needs us to be. Where He wants us to be. So thank God for the crisis sometimes. Because it may take a crisis for God to get you where He wants you. And for you to be where you need to be. Now, friends, why God is more interested in your character than He is your comfort. More interested in your salvation and sanctification than He is your comfort. Oh, us Baptists, we're comfortable people. We like padded pews. We like conditioned air. We like to have, you know, we like to have donuts to get hopped up on sugar, and chocolate milk, and meatballs, Some of you make mean meatloaf. My favorite thing is meatloaf, okay? And Baptists know how to do meatloaf, okay? And there was a lady in my last church, Beacon Hill Baptist Church. She had a ministry of chocolate pecan pie. That's what God put her on the earth for, is to make chocolate pecan pie. She would begin early in the day with ingredients that had been crafted by her own very hands, grown out of her very gardens, and grounded her meal out back in the backyard by the frog pond. And I mean, it was, you know, all the ingredients were just perfect and immaculate. And she would serve me chocolate pecan pie, and it would be on a plate, and it would be themed, and the cup would be themed, and the napkin would be themed, and the fork would be in the right place. And oh my, the ministry of chocolate pecan pie. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, you know, we as Baptists are good at meatloaf and fellowshipping and all that stuff. We're good at comfort. Christ wasn't too comfortable on the cross, though, my friends. He was hanging up there for your sins. He was hung up there for your hang-ups. He was hung up there, very uncomfortable, bleeding on the ground on this earth with his precious blood paving and paying the price for our sin and paving the way for us to get to God. Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. And we need to realize that we need to quit worrying about how comfortable we are and start worrying about how committed we are to Christ. How committed are we to Christ? Not how comfortable can we get. You know, this is a direct challenge to Nebuchadnezzar's claim to the divinity. You know, and Daniel 3:19, Nebuchadnezzar came so furious that his face distorted with rage, and he commanded that the furnace be heated to 7 times hotter than usual. Overkill. Unnecessary. Just the furnace to be heated to normal would have took him out. It's, you know, it would have been enough. It's like the nuclear age we live in today. We can blow up the earth 40 times over. Once will work. So, I mean, you know, I don't know why, you know, we need 40. But you know, that's the reality. That was kind of the thinking that Nebuchadnezzar had going on here. Then Daniel in 3:20-23. Then the king ordered some of his strongest soldiers to bind their hands and feet with ropes and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up, threw them into the furnace fully clothed. But because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire, the flames leapt out and killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. But securely tied up, they fell down into the blazing flames of the fiery furnace. Now what happens when I trust God when I'm in the flames of the fiery furnace? The story shows that there are 6 benefits that we get when you have faith when you find yourself in the fiery furnace. 6 benefits that God gives to you when you have faith when you're in the fiery furnace. If you feel like you're going through hell right now, you need to know these things. If you feel like the flames are encompassing you right now, you need to know these things. First thing is this. If we trust Him, God will walk through the fire with me. God will walk through the fire with me. You won't be alone. God's presence will be with you. Daniel 3:24-25. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar opened and jumped up the amazement and asked his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men into the furnace?" "Yes, we did," they said. "Well, look now," he shouted. "You can see 4 men now, unbounded, walking around freely in the fire, unharmed. And the 4th man looks like a son of the gods." It wasn't a son of the gods. It was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, right there with them in the middle of the flames. And when you're going through the fiery furnace in your life and the flames encompass you, if you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus and you've been saved, He's right there in the very midst of everything you're going through, everything that's going on. He's right there with you. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He is always with you. Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, "I will always be with you to the very end of the age." He's with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego back in the day during the book of Daniel. And He is with us today, 2018, until the end of the age. God will always be with us. And through His Son, Jesus Christ, He'll save us, He'll deliver us, He'll protect us, and He'll provide for us, my friends. Friends, that's what God does for us. He sets us free, and he helps us to endure the difficulties that we deal with in life. If you have faith in the furnace, God will burn off everything tying you down. Everything tying you down. The only thing that got burnt in the furnace was the man-made ropes. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to trip you up, and he wants to bind you up in your sin. And friends, when we have the refiner's fire flame hit us, it burns up those things that are man-made and sets us free to be what God created us to be. To be able to overcome the obstacles that are in front of us in life. It burned off the man-made ropes. What's holding you back this morning? What's got you tied up today? God may take you through the fire to burn off those limitations, those ropes that are so easily ensnaring and entangling you and binding you up. You may need to go through the fire to be set free. You may need to go through the fire to be set free. Friends, pain never leaves you where it found you. Extreme heat can cauterize a wound and stop the bleeding. Some of you are bleeding in various ways today, but that pain can be cauterized by Christ and it can stop. It can be healed and it can be renewed and restored once again. You know, maybe you're going through the claim today, but God will see you through. He will see you through. This is called a refining fire. Isaiah 48:10. I have refined you, but you, not the way the silver is refined. Rather, I refined you in the furnace of suffering. Sometimes the only way we're going to get pure and get right is through suffering. We may have to suffer in order to be where God wants us to be. And that's a hard lesson for us to live and to learn, but it's a reality of life. If I trust God when the heat's on, God will give me a new freedom. He will give me a new freedom. The Bible is full of examples and testimonies of this. What others mean to enslave or destroy us, God means to liberate us and to set us free. Psalm 66:12, the Word of God says, You let captors sit foot on your neck. When we went through the fire and the water, you led us out to freedom. He sets you free. He sets you free from your captors. If I will trust God when the heat is on, God will make sure I come down unharmed. Think about this. Daniel 3:26 and 27. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out! Come out at once! So the three men stepped out of the fire. When the princes, the perfects, the governors, the advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. These guys were unshakable. These guys were unbreakable. They'd been in the fire and they came out unharmed. How about you? But I like building fires. I build fires up behind my house at night, fire pit. I build fires on my farm around the pond. And it don't matter. Every time I build a fire, I smell like smoke. I mean, it's all over me, all over my all over my clothes. So it's a miracle they didn't smell like smoke, right? It's a miracle they didn't receive bad burns, right? It's a miracle they didn't die, right? It's a miracle. God can perform miracles in your life as well. He can save you, my friends. You know, they can't be cooked because of Christ. That's good to know. If I trust God, when the heat is on, it will bring unbelievers to God. How's that so, preacher? These guys impressed the most powerful emperor of the age. In Daniel 3:28, the king said, praise to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to rescue his servants. They trusted in him. They defiled my command and were willing to die rather than to worship any god except their own God. Christ is calling some of us to that kind of commitment today. We got to be willing to worship only God instead of the many gods that are out there in the world today. We must take our stand for Christ in this world that we live in today, because these are trying times. You know, God brings new life out of the fire. Daniel 3:29 and 30. Therefore, I make this decree. Anyone who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'll be put to death. Their homes will be destroyed. There is no other God who can save anyone like this. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. there is no other God than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Friends, there is no other God in the world out there today. Just as it was in Daniel's day, it is in our day. There is no other God that can save you, can deliver you, and can rescue. And there's only one God, and the way we get to that God is through Jesus Christ, His one and only begotten Son, who loved the world so much that God gave His Son for us, that if we would believe in Him, we'll not perish, we'll not burn in the lake of fire throughout time and eternity, but we will receive and inherit eternal life. Praise be to that God, amen? The one true God. There is no other God who can save you, still true today. Have you figured that out? Finally, if you have faith in God in the furnace, you trust God when the heat is on, God will reward my faith in heaven. The Bible says we're all building a life. We get to choose the foundation that we're going to build on and the building materials that we are going to use. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. Each of us must be careful how we build our lives, because Christ is the only solid foundation. Whatever we build on, that foundation will be tested by fire, and what is built on left standing, as we will be rewarded. But if we built on what we built on is burned up by the fire, we'll lose our reward. Yes, we'll be saved, like someone escaping the flames. Are you barely in and your backside hot? Are you using gold, silver, and precious stones to be building on the foundation of Christ with your life? Are you using wood, hay, and stubble, straw, that's going to be consumed when the refiner's fire is tested at the end of time? Friends, build your life on Christ. He will never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He is the only hope you have. And if the heat is on, then I want to tell you, my friends, Christ can help you endure the heat by what He will do for you, by living in you and you living for Him. He will deliver you through the fiery flames, the test that you're going through today. I don't know where you are, but earlier in this service, the Spirit was speaking. He was moving. So, you know, you may be shaken right now a little bit. I want to tell you, God can help you be unshakable. You know, anybody play with Weebles back when they were kids? Anybody know what a Weeble is? What's a Weeble do? But it doesn't do what? It don't fall down. As Christians, we may wobble like a Weeble, but we will not fall down. We'll rise up again, because Christ rose up from the grave, conquering sin, conquering death, sits at the right hand of the power of our Father today, and one day is coming back again for us, for the world, and we will rule and reign with Him throughout time and eternity. All of us who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus have been saved, but those who have not will burn in the lake of fire throughout time and eternity. And today is a day to decide, will I be shakable or will I be unshakable in Christ? Will I live for truth? Will I buy out to one of the false gods in the world today? The decision needs to be made. Who will you stand for? Who will you live for? Who will you trust with your very life this day? If you've not called upon the name of the Lord and been saved, today would be a great day to do it, to come to this altar and do business with your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and the fiery furnace is hot. It's hot at work. It's hot in your family. It's hot with your kids. It's hot with something going on, and the flames are around you and you feel like it's hot. I want to tell you, let Jesus be your firefighter and put that flame out and give you hope and trust and faith. I don't know where you are today, but the invitation's open. This altar's open. If God's speaking to you in any way today, I want to encourage you to come to Him and respond to Him. As we stand right now, we're going to sing this hymn of invitation. If God's speaking to you today in any way, I want you to respond. This altar's open. The invitation time is now. And if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, don't delay. Don't walk out of His house today. Come into His very presence. Come to this place and receive peace that passes understanding. Receive hope for tomorrow, and receive assurance for your future. If God is speaking to you today, then come as we sing this hymn of invitation right now.